Hello and welcome to NAFAM, the podcast.
Hi and welcome.
Hi. This is a travel edition.
Is it?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Partially.
Well, that's because we did a lot. We just got back from a trip up to the Upper Peninsula.
Yes. Upper Peninsula. Of Michigan, for those that don't know. Very beautiful part of the state. And yeah. I was there for work.
Very remote.
I was there for work for a couple of days at a meeting. And you just came along to get away a little bit and be with me.
Yes.
Because you can't get enough of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to the same thing last year. There was a different city, but was that the first time you and I have been to the UP together? I'm trying to remember. It was, right? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
I hadn't been in a long time since before that. So, okay. So...
Yeah, and actually, I've been part of this group for, God, I think 10 years now, and this is only my third time going, so...
Because you normally don't go.
Does
normally everyone go? Are you the only one that's ever, like,
well, not I'm not fun? The only one, but so now we have some alternates as part of this group, so, like, some of the people couldn't make it, but their alternates were there. A couple people didn't make it. They called in and did a remote meeting. In the past, it wasn't always available to do it remotely, but this is a busy time for my job. And this is kind of a secondary part of my job.
Yeah.
So it just typically doesn't work. Plus it's a, you know, ends up being like almost a whole week away.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is our second time up together.
Yeah. The thing about the UP is that it's so gorgeous from a natural resources perspective. Like the landscape, everything is, it's surrounded by Great Lakes and, taking the Mackinac Bridge to get there. It's a gorgeous bridge. Would you describe it as majestic?
Yes, absolutely.
No,
so every time, I don't want to say every time, going over it, I just feel like it's like, that bridge looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like when they must have, I feel like they've painted it recently because it just looks perfect. It's like.
Well, I'm sure that you can easily retrieve that information online because.
I know, but I didn't do that.
Yeah,
so.
No, I know. Yeah, it's so pretty. And I feel like I've crossed it a few times in snowstorms, which is like terrifying. So last year we stayed in a city called Marquette, which is probably the most happening city in the UP, would you say?
I think
it's
most
home
definitely.
To a university.
Yeah.
I think there's a few universities up there, but this is the most happening one. It's as far as like food choices and things to do, and
it's kind of like a real town.
Yeah. And when you go to, like, that was my first time in Lake Superior, was up there. And I was like, oh, wow, I get the draw. I see why people love Lake Superior so much. It's different than the other. Every Great Lake has its own personality. And I've always favored Lake Michigan because that's always where I've gone growing up. And I do love, this is my second favorite now. But also Lake Michigan's just, it's the whole coast of the Lower Peninsula, and there's so many thriving cities and cool things to do. So from that perspective,
beautiful.
I like that better. The UP is so remote. I mean, so remote. It's just so surprising to me every single time.
Well, and I think we talked about this last year too, I believe. But Lake Superior, one of the things that makes it so beautiful, it's so clear. I don't want to say that there's not a clearer lake, but it's because it's typically so cold that it doesn't grow a lot of like algae and stuff like that. It's too cold for that to grow. It's just like crystal clear,
so
this
refreshing.
Aqua blue color, clear. It's unbelievable.
Well, I would say it's aqua blue in parts, but depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
So last year we stayed in Marquette, which is a city on Lake Superior. This year we stayed in between Escanaba and Gladstone, which Escanaba I've been to multiple times. That city to me is, it's just kind of like at one time it was thriving, right? Like probably in the height of what, the logging industry or something. I should know this.
I would imagine so.
And it's
because Marquette has a lot of mining. I think there's probably a lot more logging and other other industry down there, I would think. I don't know if fishing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's kind of like pretty deserted now at this point, which is kind of sad because it's got so much potential, you know?
Yes.
Like, there's a lot to do. So there's a beautiful park there, which I spent the first day at because you're in meetings, and I had such a great time. I went for a run and a bike ride and spent time on the water there, which is basically Lake Michigan, but it's like the Bay Area. So is it I think it's called, is it Badenoch, Little Badenoch? Am I pronouncing any of that right? I always forget.
I think you're pronouncing it right. I don't know what the name of it is specifically, the correct name though.
Yeah. So I did all of that, and that was, I had such a great day. I just enjoyed so much being alone, because again, it's like there's not a lot of people there doing a lot. So you kind of feel like you have the place to yourself. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I would venture to guess that almost any time you're there, you have the place to yourself, is yeah. what it appeared to be. Yeah. And there's a nice park on the water, and there's beautiful houses and stuff. I don't want to make it sound like it's a ghost town, but it's
because it's not, though. It was once, obviously, yeah. once a very much thriving town. Like, right. That's why it's like, wow.
I think that's the thing for the size of the town.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of it hasn't been updated since probably the 70s. Man,
if you could just get like
early 80s.
If you could just get like the tourist industry thriving there again or something, some way, yeah. somehow.
So, one thing about the UP, for those that don't know, is that the summer, I mean, it was 70s, 80s when we were there the last couple of days.
70s.
70s.
It was
okay.
Only 70s.
Okay.
It
we got a little
warm.
Bit, we got a little bit south and it was 80s. Yeah. Yeah. So it was like
70s. 72 every day.
In the winter, it gets very cold.
Yeah. Lots
and
of
tons
snow.
Of snow.
Yeah.
So it's like very much in the winter. I can understand why people, you know, driving there and everything else, and there's not a lot of desire, yeah. unless you're snowmobiling or something, to go up there.
Yeah, which I've made a couple trips up there, maybe one, maybe two in the winter, and like, of course, it's like blizzard-like conditions, and driving on that little highway for 3 hours is. Yeah. Along the coast is not fun.
And so in talking to somebody last year, the first time that they went up there, and they said they went up there in the winter and they were driving, and same thing, like blizzard-like conditions. And then they look back and like the road's just gone. Like
you can't see
the road.
No, and you can't differentiate between the road and the lake. It's like, well, that's scary.
Yeah.
Anyways, at least in parts. And at least when I was driving through it. Well, I wasn't driving. Somebody else was driving. My husband at the time. Not
you observed while you were in a car.
It was scary. It was, but yes, but part of it I love, almost kind of like that. There's something about that deserted feeling too, in a way, where it's like, it does feel like a little bit of traveling back in time, like when you're there.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah,
there was some romance going on there for me, for sure. I guess I want to say about that. I was just kind of reveling in a love affair with the water and the lake and like the whole ambiance. I was there by myself. And then the other thing I did is that I told you I've never gone to a restaurant by myself and sat down, like fast food. Yes, obviously, like, but like to go in and have be seated and served and like your food brought to you. I've never done that by myself.
When you say you've never done it, you genuinely mean like you've never done it.
I've never done. Well, unless like when I was in high school, I would like I worked at a restaurant and I would go there
in your
adult
life.
Care because I knew them and they were my friends.
In your adult life, you've never done that.
I haven't.
Which I told you, not that I desire to do that or like to do that, but I've done it many times.
Right.
And I was like,
well,
how
and a lot of people do
never
it. I know.
Done that?
So you and I debated that because you were like. I was like, I feel like most people kind of say it's a thing they don't want to do and they avoid doing and they don't do and it's scary. And you were like, I don't think so. But I did look it up and it did say that, like, I think the stat was from, let me see.
Wait, you looked this up?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Okay. Because I would venture to guess that there are some people that actually love to go out
by said,
themselves.
Okay, it's in the United States, a survey by the Restaurant Reservation Service Open Table found that in 2015, the number of solo dining reservations in the U.S. had increased by 62% over the previous 2 years. This reflects a growing trend. And then it said, according to a report by the NPD group, about 60% of all restaurant visits in the U.S. are made by individuals dining alone.
60%?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say 62% growth from what, 2%? But wow.
I know.
That's a big number.
So I stand corrected.
Okay.
With you.
God, wow, that's a... this is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
On record. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I didn't expect that. That's way higher than I would have thought.
I know.
I would have said like 10% or something, maybe, you know, 10 or 20. But
yeah. But it was nice. Honestly, yeah. I didn't even think that, like, I was joking with you. I was like, okay, I'm going to go do it. And then I go in there and I get seated and I text you. I was like, fuck, I'm
here. Yeah,
I'm in
my meeting, I get a text.
I was like, fuck, I'm here. I did it. Now I can't leave. I've already been served a little, like a beverage. I can't leave now. Anyways, no, but it was lovely. It was actually really, really lovely. It was just this cute little diner.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of your breakfast and I was very jealous because my food was not that good. And I was like, oh, that looks really good right now. Anyway.
I do feel like, and I could be wrong for saying this, maybe I would get a lot of hate mail for it. I don't know if I was able to get any mail. But that's the one thing that is frustrating about like a lot of the cities up north, except for maybe Marquette, is that the food is also like reminiscent of like the 80s, which is like fine, but I would love some like newer options like every once in a while when I'm up there. Do you know what I mean? It's just like greasy fried foods. That's
absolutely
all you get. Like, it's like, oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, the hotel we were at, we had a nice dinner, which was a welcome
change.
That was
nice. Yes, that was nice.
Because everything else seemed to be, yeah. We actually, we'll get to this, but one of the evenings after my meeting, the group took a bus to a city called Munising to go see Pictured Rocks.
Pictured
we actually
Rocks.
Drove in because we wanted to do kind of our own thing, potentially. And we walked around that town, which is a tourist town because that's where the boats go out to see the Pictured Rocks.
Yes, it's
and
a big industry there.
The food choices in that town
were limited.
There were quite a few choices, all the same and all mostly fast food related.
Yeah.
There were no like, oh, this looks like a sit-down restaurant to really like order a
greasy
you know.
Fried foods was everybody's specialty.
Yep,
it seems like yes. So, but that, and that's, again, it's almost every city up there.
Yeah.
Except for like, I do remember Marquette had some like much more modernized menus and at a couple of places. They didn't even have a ton either, but, so anyways, that's what, the reason why we really drove separately is because we knew that they were going to be taking a Pictured Rocks boat tour. I'm not a fan of boats in general. I do them when I have to. When somebody says it's a choice, I really struggle with whether or not it's a good choice to make. And then I did, like, I went on to YouTube and I was like, okay, I need to know what the boat situation is. What's it look like? And I looked at it and I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna be able to do it. It seems like it could be kind of rough. It's 2 hours. I will be trapped on this not very big boat with all these people you work with. Like, that apparently seasickness is pretty common on these tours. At least they warn you of it. So I was like, I don't think I'm gonna do it. But if we drive there, like, you could go with them and then I'll just hang out while you guys do it in town. But then we got there and you decided, I went and looked at the boats. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not doing it. And then you decided that you weren't going to leave me
hanging. Yeah, first of all, there was no good place for you just to hang out in the town for 2 hours and chill. I mean,
everything closes by like...
The whole time I would have been sitting there thinking about... as soon as we left the dock, I would have felt terrible and I'd be stuck for 2 hours too. And I'd be like, this sucks. I probably won't have cell phone signal.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'd be thinking about you the whole time about how miserable you are and also how I'm going to hear about it. But like,
I doubt that. You've done it to me plenty of times when I haven't wanted to do something. I've hung back and you've done it.
Yeah, this was 2 hours though where I didn't want to do that. I just, so anyway, you
also,
and I
really though, don't you think it was because that was your plan and then a whole like large percentage of people in your group decided not to go last minute, so then you would have felt less guilty about also not going?
Oh, I think that
I feel like that played into
that
it.
Did
because otherwise you would have felt like, oh, I can't not go.
So I would have made the same decision, but I would have felt more guilty about it had all of those people gone. Some of them, yeah, they flew in, and so the person they flew in with, because they took, he's got a little plane.
Yeah.
And so he flew them in. He's like, we're going to leave now. And so they ended up going.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like three people out of the group.
No,
that
but
didn't
there were some others that didn't go too. They stayed back.
Oh yeah, there were a couple more.
So anyways, but what that resulted in is I was like, oh, I also want to see these. Like, they look like amazing from, and everyone says the boat tour, you can't miss the boat tour. It's the best way to
see
them.
That was my thing. It was the FOMO piece of it was definitely difficult, but I'm like, I'm with you and no, we're doing this together.
Okay. You sure it didn't make you feel guilty at all about it? Wasn't that?
I told you. I said, I will not be mad at you. I said, I might be a little annoyed because I'm like, I know you can do it.
You said you were going
to
be disappointed.
Or disappointed. Yeah, not annoyed. Disappointed. I said, I'll be disappointed because I want to do it. I know you can do it. Like, I think you would be okay because it was a pretty calm day and everything. But I understand that's not your thing.
Well, the
Monday
morning quarterback report was mixed. Some people were like,
yes.
Yeah, you would have been
the
sick.
The first person was like, it's probably a good thing. Yeah, because even just those slow rolling waves, like you feel them. And then a couple other people were like, oh, she would have been totally fine.
Yeah.
So it's like, who knows?
But either way, I don't regret what we did because I was like, let's go do some of the drive to sites. So, what that allowed us, first of all, it was gorgeous. And what that allowed us to do is we saw a beach. It ended up being the most beautiful beach I've ever seen or I've ever been to, and definitely the most beautiful beach in Michigan, it has to be. It was amazing, and it allowed us to be in the water. Like, I was like, if I was in the boat, I'd want to jump in the water so bad. Like, I'd want to be fully in it. Like, I'd want to, the kayak tours look pretty cool.
They did. I would do that.
It looks kind of hard getting to the spot because we were, the beach we found was actually a location for one of the kayak tours to start. So we saw a lot of kayaks leaving the beach and heading over to the spots where they can, like, go through caves and stuff, which seemed super cool. But the part we did find was just, it was so, like, I can't even put words to it. It was an experience. It was so beautiful.
Do you know what that beach reminded me of? And I don't know, I won't do it justice, but, like, when you see a picture of, I'm going to say, like, a tropical beach that feels isolated.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, in Costa Rica or something that feels like it's like, oh, this is kind of a remote, you know, quiet area.
It felt undiscovered.
It felt like that to me. And that's what I loved about it.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of people there. I mean, it's on the national shoreline. It's protected. It's very well preserved. Yes, it did feel that way. And, like, the sand, this, it's so interesting, the difference between the sand at Lake Superior versus the other side of the peninsula, which is Lake Michigan. They're completely, I mean, everything is so different.
Lake Michigan,
so there was an hour away, and it was so different.
It's got that, like, lighter,
it was a little
very
fine.
Very fine sand, like, you know, white, light color. This was like a sugar, sand.
Well, it was,
kinda.
I feel like it was more.
And every step you take, you kind of sink in, but more granular, like bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And so we got there and it was just like, oh, the water's amazing. And we were just like, oh, and then I was like, let's go walk to the end over there. And we walked to this very end and then we walk into this like cove area and there's just all these rocks. And like, we just walked up on the waves are splashing in.
So of course we both had pants on. We had to roll them up into shorts. They still got really wet.
Yeah.
There but was we're somebody, like, we can't miss this. We can't not do this.
No, you didn't want to leave. I mean, something took over your body. Like, it was just like, I don't want to leave this spot. It was so hard to leave. It was so magical. Somebody was out there with like an easel painting. Like, it was just like, are you kidding me right now? Everything about it.
Yeah, the little waterfall and the cove.
Yes, you were like surrounded by the rocks on each side. Yeah. So you got that like,
well, the cool thing too about the rock found formation there, it's so layered. And it's like, I think one of the guys said on the boat tour that the captain was calling things out and explaining things. And he said like, and he's like, I'm pretty sure it was in that area where he's like, it looks like Lego blocks because there's different colored rocks in different like geometric patterns, like, you know, that are just interspersed in layers across. So it's not like even the same color layered rock all the way up. It looks like separate like rectangles of these other rocks that were put in here. And I know I pointed that out to you in the one area.
I'm that
whole
one
like
area
layer
was weird.
Is probably like 6 inches tall is a completely different stone than the rest of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was so cool.
I didn't want to leave there either.
I was serious. I was like, I kind of want to go back the next day, like spend the day, like on our way home. I kind of wanted to go do that, but we didn't.
It was
time.
An hour north the other way.
It was. So, but I definitely want to go back and do more of that because we only saw, what was the name of the site we went to?
So Miner's Castle was the
Miner's Castle
overlook
lookout, and
the
then
lookout.
Miner's Castle Beach.
And then
we went to Miner's Fall.
Miner's Castle, or is it just Miner's Falls? Whatever it was.
I don't know. I think so. We walked a little half mile through the woods to get to that.
To a beautiful waterfall.
Yeah.
Which surprised me at how powerful it was and how big it was. I'm like, I didn't expect that. I thought it was going to be like this little waterfall coming down. And it was impressive.
Yeah.
Wasn't like the ones we saw in New York and, you know, upstate New York when we went to Ithaca, but it was still pretty
impressive.
Well,
the ones in Ithaca, you get to like, you're in them.
Yeah.
I feel like that was much of my experience being at that beach though. Like I had similar experiences being in Ithaca. It was like, what? I don't want to leave some of these spots. It just, something was happening there. Like you just wanted to be in it, stay
all day. Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
We both said we'll definitely plan a trip back.
Yes.
Now, there's a hiking trail that goes, I don't know how many, tens or hundreds of miles. I'm not really sure. What was it called? North Trail or something like that?
North
something trail.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get permits and you can camp along the trail.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, I actually think I might do that. And I was like,
what? I said I think I'd be open to
You'd be open to it. I don't think we will ever do that.
What's the bear situation there?
I don't know. But to me, that was like, oh my God, yes. Like I wouldn't do like a week, but like 2 nights would be really cool.
Seriously. And like there was, I would too. I guess I would want to know the bear situation, but I forgot. it's well laid out, obviously.
The bear situation's well laid
no,
out?
No, the whole park.
I know.
I feel like it's not, it's just the right mix of like...
Rustic, but not too far.
But not too rustic.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
What I'm looking it up. Yeah, they have day hikes and so many different options, it sounds like. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Lake Superior. I get the draw now. I understand. And I didn't go my whole life until last year. I'd never seen it. And now I get it. I get why people love it. I also love Lake Michigan. I love the drive back to the bridge on M2 because there's so many spots where you can pull off and just go run to the beach real quick and hang out, and it's secluded and, you know?
Yes.
I mean, one of their rest stops is like on the beach, so that's cool.
That was, I know. It's like you go to the rest stop and then you just take this little trail, yeah, and in 30 seconds you're at the beach on Lake Michigan.
I wouldn't even say 30, 10.
10 seconds. 10 seconds, you're right.
What was the thing that we saw today on the way home? The other thing?
Oh, it took me a minute. So it's called, I think, Big Spring, mm-hmm. but it's Kichidi Kipi. I'm pronouncing that totally wrong. I'm sure I am. But it is a spring, a natural spring that's up there that is part of the national parks.
It's spelled KITHCHITI-KIPI.
So basically it's a spring. I don't remember exactly how deep it is, but it is crystal clear to the bottom, teal aqua water.
Yeah.
It looks like it's dyed, but it's not.
Yeah.
You can see, I believe it's trout that are in there that are probably, I don't know, a couple feet long and crystal
tons
clear.
Tons of them.
Yeah.
And they have this weird floating wood contraption that people load onto, and it's on a cable and it goes back and forth. There's a line for it and it probably takes like 10 minutes. So we're not waiting for that, but it was so cool. It would have been neat to go on that.
It would have been. And if we weren't headed home, I probably would have waited to do it. But
if we would have gone in the morning, I would have been more inclined to. But yeah. We were there at the probably peak time of the day. So
yeah.
It was busy.
But that, I mean, it's one of those sites you look at and you're like, that's not real.
Right.
Like if you see a picture of it, you would be like, no, that's like filtered. That's not real.
Yeah. Well, it's just the location is so weird. The whole thing was so weird.
So it's, and you walk up and we went to like kind of like this deck area that overlooked it. So yeah, that raft thing that you're talking about that goes back and forth on a cable lets you look straight down on it. But it's like just this one section is crystal clear. And then it's connected to this other piece. I'm not sure if it's a lake or what ties into it or connects to it. But that's like all like, you know, it's got
marshy.
Layer of marshy shit on top of it and stuff.
Well, the guy, I took a picture of the little board that had the info on it. And
okay, so you got the
they deets. Started tours. Like they have pictures on there from like the 1800s. It's so cool. Of people on some sort of contraption that was very similar to the one that was there today. But the guy that discovered it, his name is John. Is it John I. Belair? And this is near Manistique. And so it says he's a Manistique businessman who encouraged this land be turned into a state park. But the quote is, the first time I saw the spring, it was not more than a black hole, mostly covered by fallen trees. A lumber camp, and it says Camp 22, in the vicinity threw their rubbish into it. I could have purchased the land myself, but instead I made the contacts to have the state acquire it. So he just fell upon it, and it must have cleared it up. And
yeah, I liked how that sign was worded, though. Yeah. I could have bought it myself, but instead made the contacts.
Well, it's a quote. It's a direct quote.
No, I know it's a
supposedly.
Quote. Right, exactly. I'm just saying it's like, I need to let everybody know. I could have bought this myself and just kept it private.
Right.
But it was magical enough that I felt the need to, you know, turn this into something and let, you know, be preserved this way.
Yeah.
By the way, the name of the trail is the North Country Scenic Trail, formerly called the Lakeshore Trail, which is 42 miles long.
It is 42 miles long. Okay. Wow. So anyways, it was a very refreshing, meditative, mindful weekend. I don't know. It was nice.
Yeah. And I had 2 days of meetings and they went by so fast.
Yeah.
It's like, first of all, I love the group of people that are part of this group. I mean, it's a fun group to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
We got up there on Tuesday and everybody was coming in at different times and stuff. We actually ate dinner at the restaurant at the hotel, and as we were leaving, a number of people from the group came in.
Yeah.
So you actually went back to the room. I went and had a beer with them and hung out for just a short period of time that night. But
yes.
Then we had a dinner Wednesday night, and it's just, I mean, a lot of laughs, just a fun group to hang out with. And it's one of those things, like, we only see each other typically quarterly, and get together. And a lot of the people that are part of the group, like, are pretty new to it.
A lot of them you chat with on the phone a lot, I feel like, though.
Probably just two or three of them.
Okay.
So it's a pretty small group, but it's like you get together and, you know, for the most part, most of the people, you know, it's a board.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the people really come together and just, it feels like the one individual that I talk to on the phone all the time, I've only known him for like a year and a half, maybe. Actually, okay. I think like less than that.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, it's, you know, one of those, he's one of those people that like, you just, you feel like you've known him for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few people like that when you get together, you just feel like we hang out all the time. Well, no, yeah. We don't, but we just all feel very comfortable around each other. So.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a fun group of people.
Yeah.
They're a fun group of people. It does feel, it's, well, and I met many of them last year and I still remember them from this year and they're a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like there's some of them I was telling you, there's, it's just interesting to me sometimes because I'm like, I feel like last time and this time, I'm like, oh, they just remind me of like a group of friends. You know what I mean? I just feel like they're so easy just to like fit right in and just have a good time with. And they remind me so much of like, it's so easy for me to like get in a group like that and just like, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out here. Chat.
Talk. Yeah, well, just
engage
like.
Engage in conversation.
Just, yeah, engage.
You can just keep going. Like, it's interesting to me because as much as I hate small talk, are we doing anything other than small talk? No, not really. I think we're talking about kids. Like, a lot of them are the same kids' age. They're going through the same life changes.
Yeah.
And so we're just, like, talking about all of that. And it's just everybody's really chatty and back and forth and funny. And it just feels very natural. And I really enjoy hanging out with them. And sometimes I remind myself that they're your group of people and not mine. I'm just the plus one.
Well, that's what I love about it because you can go and hang out and it doesn't feel like, what's she doing here? You know, there's
right.
No, there's none of that vibe.
Well, there's other partners there too sometimes, not many.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but I know.
Yeah, I know. It's nice though. It doesn't, it just, it's like, it's nice to be able to, whoops, I'm sorry, my alarm went off.
Yeah, no, I had.
It's nice to be able to hang out with your colleagues and have a good time.
I told one of the guys was like, we had a dinner with the whole group and there's employees of the group that we're part of the board of and, he's like, are you going to, you know, you're going to make a speech? And I'm like, yes, I was planning on it. But I also, I'm like, my wife's going to be at dinner and I don't want to because, and I don't remember, I was talking to a couple of people. I don't remember what they said. And they gave like a reason, like I wouldn't want to do it in front of you. I'm like, no, she's going to give me shit about it after, like what I said, like, you know, what I could have said, like, I'll just feel like, oh, I missed the mark on that. And like, you'd razz me about it. You know what I mean? So I gave my little speech, which was short.
What did they say about that, though? What did they think the reason why you didn't want to say it in front of me was? Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember.
I thought it was
now.
The same reason when you retold it to me later.
It was it was similar to that, but it was something. It was something else, and I don't remember what it was. Anyway, like I'd be embarrassed or whatever else, but it was not like it wasn't exactly that you would give me a hard time about it. Because I'm like just in good fun, you would like you'd
make
fun
me
about
you.
It. You'd make fun of me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'd do the same thing to you. I would poke you.
Well, no,
you would do it worse.
You would definitely not do that.
You would do it worse.
You would do
the
opposite. We talked about this last episode about you. Congratulations! When
I would
not even in order.
I would, which it was in order.
No,
we'll talk about that. But anyway. I would want to do it and I would feel like a little bit like, oh, I know you just put yourself out there. So I would feel like I shouldn't do it because of that. Whereas you're like,
okay,
no, this is what I feel. So I'm going to do it. But, so I gave my little speech and so
which by the way, you did really good. I actually got to that point. It became such a thing that I was going to make fun of you that I decided to film it so I could like share it with the boys the way people were joking with you, I was like, oh, it's the same way the boys are with you. I want to share it with the boys. But then I didn't get to because it was such a good speech. Go ahead.
It was not.
Okay. It was. I have it recorded on here.
Oh, I did see you have your phone. You actually recorded. Well, it's funny because the one guy that was asking me if I was going to do it, and I was like, yeah, you know, and I don't like public speaking. I really don't
like
it.
He wouldn't let it die. He kept pushing
But I could
you.
Tell. I told him, like,
he really wanted
you're getting nervous about like me. Like I could
he
tell.
He wanted you to do it like before dinner. Like I thought maybe it was going to be an after dinner situation. He's like, no, he starts chiming the glasses.
But I could, it was funny because I looked over at him and I could tell I'm like, he's like physically like a little bit like on edge. Like you need, like this was important to him.
It was
like,
important to him that somebody did it. Yeah.
That's all
it
was.
And it needed to be you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I gave a little speech and then anyway, that night ended. You went back and went to bed before me. Like a half an hour when I came back, you were already sleeping. So the next morning, they're like, so what'd your wife say about your speech?
Oh, really?
I got back. She was actually sleeping, so she didn't say anything about it.
But, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they remembered that.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because we joked about it for a while. So yes, you would not. You would totally praise me. You would do this whole thing where I'd be like annoyed, like it wouldn't even feel genuine. Just like we talked about last week when we talked about how I had that interview and you were like, way to go. And I'm like, it's not a way to go situation, Jim. It's just more like, oh, I'm glad you finally heard something because I was wondering like what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
So I had the interview that next day, right? It was the one of the most fascinating interviews I've ever participated in. I like hung up from that. It was a virtual interview and I hung up from it and I'm just like, oh my God, I was still like so impressed and then even more excited for the program. I have never been asked.
Okay, hold on.
No, okay. Hold on. I've never been asked so many open-ended questions and I was just like, wow, I see why the value of this for the purpose of this program, that why that's so important, obviously. And like, there was like, they just like took me, it was like an experiential interview. Like they just like took me through this process. And then like at the end, I was like, wow. And he was like, well, I just want you to have an idea what it will be like to be, you know, some of the parts of this program will be like this. And I was like, wow, that was really impactful. I wasn't prepared for that. I was like, this is why I love this. Like, it was so cool. And then I asked him what to expect next. And he was like, well, you'll probably hear something by the end of the month. You know, we have, I think he said he had like, I don't remember what he said, but anyways, he was like, you'll hear something by the end of the month. And then I'm just like.
You got the impression that he said that there were more candidates than spots is the impression that
yes,
you got.
Yes, because I went into it thinking that that wasn't the case. And I was just like, I'm sure that like, I just assumed that it wasn't going to be that. I don't even know what the story is, but all I know is that the interview was very impressive. And so I left there going, oh my gosh, I have to have this. And this is so exciting and I can't wait. Anyways, I finally got.
And thinking, and I don't know if I'm going to get in.
Yes. But I did get notice yesterday that I got in. So I'm very excited.
Congratulations.
I don't know how it's actually going to pan out, but currently I'm literally more excited for this than I've ever been excited about anything in life other than like having kids. And that is like, I really think that's God's honest truth. Like seriously.
Well, it's a 2 or 3 year program. I mean, it's a big deal. It's not like a week long thing or something. I mean, it's
I know, intensive. But it's like my favorite thing.
Right.
It's like my favorite topic.
Right.
I love it.
You're going to be fully immersed in this for a long, I mean, it might change your career in the way that you do your job.
Well, it's going to enhance it. I mean, it's taking it to the next level.
I don't mean change your career. I meant, exactly.
It's just taking it to the next level.
Yes.
I mean, when I forgot what question was asked at one point, but I was, the questions were asked in such a way that like the answers were just so spontaneous and so you could, I mean, I feel like there it was maybe purposeful and intentional, but so that it sort of elicited some real authentic responses. But anyways, at one point I was just like, I just love exploring people with people. Like that just like came out of my mouth and I was like, and I do. And that's all of this is. Like, again, taking it to the next level. So I'm so excited right now.
I'm excited for you.
Good.
And I feel somewhat justified in me in like praising like this is exciting, this opportunity to interview and do this.
No,
I didn't know what it was though
Jim.
Either. I didn't know
what
it was.
Though. All you need, that's my point.
Right.
It still was weird that you were like, it felt, I said before, a little degrading, a little condescending. Like.
Which I did not intend for, because to me, I know that you've been looking at this and you were like, I could tell you were excited about it. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, for you to get that, like, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to hear back. I'm not sure how this is going to work. And then to say like, hey, we want to interview you. And that's what I felt like.
Yeah. Well, I kind of expected that though.
I'm just saying, I think
everybody gets in. I mean, I don't know. I guess I assumed everyone gets interviewed. So I was just waiting.
But we all downplay that because we're like, well, what if we don't get interviewed? So we all downplay the significance of it.
There's excitement about, yay, it's the next step. There's an interview. But the way to go is, I still stand by that. Like, that's like, no, that's not, it's not even, like, that's tone deaf. Like, that's like, read the room, like, know your audience. Like, what you know is that, oh, how exciting. What a relief to know it's here. Or like, not congratulations.
I get that. I understand what you're saying. Okay. You had to get reference letters and everything else. So like, I just, I did.
Which
over,
is so
I
annoying having to ask bit. People for reference letters. Seriously.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate doing that to people, but I had to, so I did.
And you did.
And I did. It is going to be, and it's a pretty intense program. I mean, it's basically like going back to grad school.
I know. It's going to be weird.
Yeah. But the timing's right.
Oh, it's perfect timing.
The kids are, 3 of the boys again.
Yep.
We are getting closer to the move out dates.
Getting very less than a month for all 3 of them.
How are you feeling about it? Where are you at with it?
It doesn't feel real yet. It won't feel real until it happens.
Yeah.
I don't think for me, like, I can't even, like, it just feels like, okay, well, it's that time. And yeah, of course they are. And yet, as soon as they're gone, and I was talking to a couple other people the last couple of days about it who have kids in college and stuff like that, and talking about, like, you know, that first period of time where, you know, you hear the joke, oh, you can walk around naked in your house or whatever. And the one guy, it was like, he was telling me, and he's like, yeah, I'm at an age where I'm not going to walk around naked in my house. Like, that's I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But the point of the matter is, he's like, you get to a point where it's not long before all of a sudden you're like, oh, how can we schedule a weekly dinner or something to get the kids back in the house for a period of time? Not to live there necessarily, but to get everybody together again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'll hit you like pretty quick.
Yep.
You know, your first couple months might be like, this is great. We only have, you know, one at home, and, you know, we have this other flexibility and everything else. But it's like, then you'll be like, oh no, everything's different.
Yeah.
So that's the part it's going to be tough.
Oh yeah. We went out to, we tried to get everybody together last weekend, and we went out to, of course we couldn't because there's always somebody working. So Friday night we went to one kid's place of employment and ate. And then on Sunday we went to the other kid's, and the other kid works at a sit down restaurant. So we all sat and dined for a while outside. And we were just kind of reflecting on that, and like, you were getting a little emotional, so we were teasing you about it, but also like, it was real. And I was explaining to the boys, I'm like, seriously, like, you don't think you understand what it's going to be like for Katie. Like, I've said it on here, I know, but I'm like, I was in her shoes. Like, it's hard. It's hard to have all your brothers move out on you and like, realize that like, that part of your childhood is never coming back, and you're still in your childhood. Like, you guys are excited and moving out. Like, she's still got to like, be in her childhood, and you guys are just leaving. Like, that's hard.
Yeah. And she has a tough exterior. So right now, since it hasn't happened yet.
Oh no.
She's all about like,
no,
I can't wait. And it's like, oh no.
No, she's not like that either though. She's also sentimental. No, she posts stuff on her social media.
That's what I'm saying though, is the words coming out of her mouth don't match the reality of what's happening and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's cute, but it's also like, no, this is it's going to impact us. It's going to impact you too. It's
Change but she everything. Also knows it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's times where I think, you know, she doesn't want to feel, I don't know, I can't speak for her. I'm just obviously projecting my own stuff onto her. But like, I think there's times when it's like, well, I don't want to be vulnerable and tell them that because they might make fun of me or they might not respond to it.
Of course.
And then that leaves people feeling all
she's
sorts
little
of
sister,
icky feelings.
Of course.
So, but they've gotten a lot, you know, they also do recognize it. You know, they'll say and do sweet things for her sometimes. And so that's helpful. But yeah, there is a part of me though that's like feeling in limbo. When I said this before and I still feel it now, it's like, all right, I'm ready, like go, like let's just wrap this up because we know it's coming anyway, so just go ahead and do it now. Why wait?
That's
it's
exactly
these three
where...
adult men living in my house, and it's reminiscent of, dare I say this on here because I feel like I've been saying this to a lot of people lately, I feel like I'm in college again. I think I must have. I feel like I'm living in like college house again with a bunch of guys, and I'm just like, oh, oh, just like,
yes,
I want my space, like just go, like I'm ready to be able to have control over the second floor of my house again, like
yeah. And they are all ready to go too, so therefore it feels like yeah, you're right, we're all in this limbo land. Like, just make it happen, and then we can start figuring out what's next and how we cope with that, we move, we, you know, we navigate that. It's going to be a different world for us, but
definitely.
But yeah, right now it feels,
we're celebrating,
it feels a little awkward.
It does. We're going to be celebrating 10 years of marriage this upcoming year too, and we're trying to plan something together as a family.
Yeah.
And that'll be more difficult too because time's so limited.
Yes.
So
we have yes, different schedules.
Big changes coming up.
I know. I am with you.
Changes. I did.
Like, I just kind of want to speed up these next couple of weeks just to get to the point where like we can figure this out and know what's next and actually wrap our arms around what this is going to look like.
Yeah. And I feel like with the whole college thing, it's just like, I mean, obviously and thankfully, I don't have access to anything. Thank God. But I'm also like, do you know what you're doing? Like, do you know when you're supposed to show up and what to bring? And like, I mean, do you even know like what your schedule? I mean, I know you know it, but you don't have to, do you know how to like retrieve it? Like, do you have any idea what's going on? Like, oh, well, I guess we'll, so I don't know about that. But I am trying to like also like I did like on Monday. What day was it? Or it was Tuesday morning. I'm like, I'm going to make, I love it when I can share some experiences with my kids that I think are really valuable to them. So like one of them is like, there's this yoga, the yoga studio we go to. I just love some of their classes. And I just am always like, oh, the kids should be coming here. Well, on Tuesday morning, I told Christopher, I'm like, you're going to get up at like 9 a.m. and go to this class with me. And he's like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, yeah, you are. And then eventually we negotiated and he was like, okay, I'll go. It was so great. So I was just honestly, it seems so silly, but afterwards I was like, I feel so good about my role as a mom when I encourage him to do these things and he does them and then like he experienced it. Like it just feels awesome. So I'm like, I'm so glad that we're getting some of this in right now because it's not going to happen after this summer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I was really happy about that. And I loved it because the message was, I was like, wow, that's crazy because the message was, I make sense. And like I was just talking to you last week, like that came up, speaking of synchronicity, I was saying something about how like I always say, does that make sense? I say that so much. I must really want to make sense to people. And then that whole class the next day revolved around this idea of the desire to make sense. And it was beautiful. It was a lovely, lovely message, church service.
And I asked you what Chris thought of the class.
Not much, I don't think. It was, he didn't like it because he was the only guy. And I was like, well, there's typically not that many. It was a very crowded class. So that was a little overwhelming, I think. But he didn't hate it. He's like, it was fine. Yeah. Sure.
See, I actually, and I asked that question because you said it was a full class.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even like going to full classes.
Same.
To me, it's so intimidating and so much like, yeah, put me in the back. I don't want to be around other people.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go to a class like on Sundays when we do sometimes and there's like 8 people in there, it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. And I told him, I'm like, when I go on Sundays, there's always this other team in there. And like, he's the only one. He doesn't care. I was like, you don't care either. But this instructor that we had, or yoga teacher was, she's like, I don't know. She's really good. Like probably the best. I don't know. She's really good. So I'm glad that he was able to experience that whole thing with me because there's just something about the way she delivers her facilitation skills that are just impeccable.
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 Well, you and I talked about that. That makes a world of difference as far as the power of the class, what you get out of it.
Yeah.
What you put into it and like the emotion that it brings up. Because we've had some, it's like, could have been good. I mean, it was a good workout, but it's a much deeper thing than that a lot of times when it's delivered right. When you get the right teacher, instructor, whatever you call them.
Yes. Yoga teacher.
Yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Like the power, like it like can bring you to tears.
Yeah.
You know, and make you just feel it all with all senses and every part of you versus like, oh, I'm here, I'm getting a workout. I hear what you're saying, but it's not resonating. It's not really making me go deep, you know?
Yes. And that one was really deep. It was really good. It was very well choreographed on every level. Such a good class. I love it. That's why I'm so glad that I was able to take him to it. as I launch him off into the world.
Well, and I think that the hope is that, I mean, maybe, who knows, but someday, like, you know, he won't do it now. He's not going to go to yoga class now, but like, maybe someday, like us, he'll return to that.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
As we get older and you're like, oh, there's power in this. This totally, you know, it just, the way
he
it
totally will.
Hits.
He's
I think so too. I'm just saying it's like giving that experience now.
When it comes to his insides, he's a replica of me. Like, we're pretty much the same soul.
Exactly. So seeing that as an outlet or an opportunity for growth, like, it's like, oh, I hope when you get in your 30s or 40s, you recognize that.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure he will before that. This generation's all into that stuff.
That's true.
He will for sure.
Good.
Good. What else? There's a lot going on in the world of politics, and I'm not here to talk about them. I'm not. In fact, I'm here to say how I'm not going to talk about them. It's just, I think it would be unrealistic to not say something about how it's such turbulent times and so much going on as we are in the throes of an election year.
Which, I'm just going to throw this out there. We, on the way home, we had like a 6-hour drive today, and we were listening to music, and you're like, can we put a podcast on? So we listened to, what's his name,
Michael Mead.
Michael Mead.
Living Myth Podcast.
Living Myth Podcast. And he gave a, he always talks about, brings up a myth, and then kind of how it relates to the world today and what's going on in, mm-hmm. in some way. And he talked about, oh my God, what's his name? Is it? It's not Jacob and the Argonauts, is it?
Probably something like that.
Something in the Argonauts, I'm totally drawing a blank on the name. This is embarrassing. But he really focused on the tension of opposites.
Yeah.
And in the climate that we're in today, not just politically, but that factors into it.
It's the idea that it's we're as a planet, and we're all experiencing it on every level.
Yeah. And to be able to, and I'm probably messing this up because it's one of those podcasts where I feel like you need to listen to it, probably the story a couple times.
It's Jason.
Jason. I started to say Jason and I totally dropped the ball. Anyway, what did I say the first time?
Jacob.
Okay. Anyway, talked about sitting in this tension of opposites and how it's you have to be able to hold that because, and if I might be messing this up completely, but I feel like, and I'm not relating this specifically to politics, but we have to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this tension of opposites, we have to be able to sit there until we get, I don't want to say a third choice. I'm not saying a third candidate in that way, but until we can figure out something that can get us together and moving in the same direction, I think, is the way I took it.
I don't know that I took it that way.
Oh, okay.
But maybe it could be taken that way. I think he was just talking about this concept of and especially in chaos, you're gonna see more polarization. You're gonna see more behavior, whether it's on a collective level, through politics, or whatever, even maybe or individually, this urge or desire to go right or wrong. It's right or it's wrong. And to recognize that there's a third option, which is wisdom. It's usually layered with wisdom. It's that wise option. It's that ability to just sit in that ambivalence. And that's the third, is the way I take it.
Okay. You just said that much better than I said it.
Okay.
I was trying to say it. I was trying to say exactly what you said. That's what I was. I didn't mean it was a third candidate. But
okay.
We need to figure out what it can be to find common ground to bring us together.
Right.
So, yeah. What in this whole thing, when you're over on this side and somebody's over on this side, we've got to be able to sit there and not be so reactive places.
And I'm not going to go into specifics on this either because I don't find it even worthwhile. The specifics necessarily, maybe, I don't know, but last weekend there was this really controversial group that visited our community and did really gross things and and so the funny thing is people in the community Facebook groups were posting about it, right? Both quote sides were definitely condemning this behavior, but then you saw some people wanting to blame it on the other group. Well, this was your group that's doing this. No, it was actually your group. You'd be surprised. You should do your research. And it's just why are you taking it there? This divisive group came in and you're just feeding right out of the hand of division. You could just say, I'm so glad we all hate this and condemn this.
Yes.
That's the unity there. And some people definitely could do that.
Well,
but it was just to observe all of that. And there's such an opportunity here for you people to unite over this. But then they want to fight about who's responsible because it had to be one or the other groups, right? It can't just be its own thing. And then also I just wanted to be no side has a monopoly on hate. I hate to break it to you people. But then also this, and then there was just maybe fighting about how you should respond to it. Well, if you don't respond this exact way, then you're with them.
Right. You should ignore it. You shouldn't. We should delete this and not even talk about it because we're just giving them power.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that my point is there's the third option right there. This ability to say, wow, look at us all agreeing that we're going to condemn this message.
So, yeah. And I'm going to just throw this in there because this is one that really struck me was the people that felt the need to say, I support their right to go out there and do this. I disagree with their message. And I just felt we know they have the right to do this. We don't even need to say that.
But
we
I feel
give
like by you even talking about this right now, you're carrying on exactly what I'm talking about. There's no need to even go down that road.
Right.
How about we zero in on this idea that we all agree we can
condemn
this behavior?
That's the best app. That's the best thing.
And
I'm just,
we don't need
I'm just
to,
giving
I know, but you're, do you see what I'm saying? Now you're going down this path of litigating and then somebody's going to come up.
Oh, totally.
Even what you're bringing up in a way is just creating more division.
I hear you. I just wish people didn't feel the need to say that. I was not going to post on there and be like, you don't need to say that. I just felt like what you just said is
I know,
that's
but
all
that's,
we need
that's
to say.
Everyone's, that, but that started the spats.
Yeah.
You don't need to say that. Well, you didn't. It's just that doesn't matter.
Yes.
The point is that
let's just all agree this is terrible.
Yeah. And also the people that were saying that, Jim, I don't think they realized the length at which what was happening. I think they were just like, oh, somebody's getting picked on for free speech. And it's like, no, that's not like, do you know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying, I want to focus on that third. There's some ambiguity there, but there's also like this like uniting like,
yeah,
hello, you know?
Absolutely. Like, it does. Yeah, we can both agree. Guess what? This is not who we are, and this is equally condemned, and we can come together on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, but yeah, also, okay, also on politics, but not politics. I keep thinking about this correction I want to make, or maybe clarification I want to make on a previous episode that we talked about a long time ago, and I haven't even listened to it since it was recorded, so it's been so long, and I don't exactly remember what I said, but it comes up from time to time, and I'm like, oh, I feel like I want to clarify that. And it was about, I think it was on our episode somewhere in the title I said, our COVID controversy favorites or something, but you had brought up about like how Armchair Expert was talking about comparing the concepts of reproductive rights or abortion controversies versus the masking controversy.
Yes.
And I was saying how I went on this whole thing about like how I would relate masking, the whole controversy around masking, more to like public safety. Like this is also why we outlawed smoking in public restaurants. Like you can't, like there's so much, you can barely smoke in public anymore because of the risk it puts to others around you. And I was like, you know, I misrepresented, or I spoke.
Maybe your focus was not.
It doesn't articulate any sort of affirmative stance I have on this, but I had said something along the lines of like, oh, that's, you know, when abortion rights don't have impact on other lives around you. Well, I don't think that's fair, because that's the whole argument, right? Is this a life? And I'm not here to like weigh in on that at all. What I meant, and what I should have done a better job articulating, is that I feel like that issue is very heavy and very big, and not even in the same league as like the mask, require mask debate. Like to me, that is more in the can you smoke in public debate, like, and why we make rules around that to protect the health and safety of others. So I guess I just, does that make sense to you?
Does that make sense?
What I mean by that, I just feel like the reproductive, like that's just like huge and heavy and like so complex.
When you were saying,
like, not that the other one's not complex too, but this one is like huge. And I'm just like, why are we putting those in the same category? I don't understand, because people always think my body, my rights, whatever, my choice. How is the saying? And I'm just like, oh, I just feel like that's just, those two aren't even in the same league.
Yeah. And you were expressing that you didn't like those being compared, but what you didn't do is you didn't
say why.
The bigger picture reason why. Yes, you can look at them, but that's not fair to say that one thing is that way. Abortion rights are in the same league, like you said. It's a different, that's a different world.
For me, it is. And I feel like most would agree, but maybe not. That was what I meant by that.
Yeah.
So.
No, and I like.
So much
I like,
for not talking about politics.
I like you comparing it to the smoking analogy, though.
Yeah.
Because we don't allow that. People don't like it, but other people love it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, it's more equivalent to that than. Mm-hmm. The
maybe they should just require people to smoke with masks on or something.
There
that's
you go.
A joke.
Hot box.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So it's going to be. Are you feeling it? Are you feeling political tension around you in your personal circles? Because I am not.
I am not feeling
or
tension.
I'm not observing it really either.
But
because
the conversation is starting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can feel the conversation starting.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever side you're on, like we poke fun at each other, but it's done in a way that's like not deep.
Okay.
But I do think in other areas we're going to feel it more in the fall.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. And guess what? And before long, it'll all be over for another cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way it works. Every 4 years, we go through this process. Yes, it's heightened right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jim, it's not. I mean, the last 10 years
No.
Been really heightened.
No, it's totally heightened, and we'll go through this cycle. And I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think it's going to be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is like, yeah, until we get to a point, like you were talking earlier, where we can find that somewhat of a common ground in key areas. Like
it feels like it's the only way through.
Yes.
Which nobody seems to understand, which blows my fucking mind.
I know, exactly. This isn't difficult. You're not going to get your way. You're not going to get your way on everything, but let's figure out where we can.
It's not even about your way. It's the ability to have perspective and discernment. Like, that's what I'm what?
But it is about that, because it's like,
I don't
think so. We have to find areas where we can come together.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's about like, it just feels very concrete. Well, I feel like I'm talking about like perspective and discernment. Like, and that's the thing is like when you're in chaos, people's brains lose the ability to be more open to that. And so maybe that's part of it. Like,
let me be clear. I'm talking about the extremes. I'm only talking about the extremes. I'm not talking about probably.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is like, that's like the paradox there is that the extremes are least capable of doing that. And we most need them to, because they're the most stuck in concrete thinking, all or nothing thinking, binary thinking, whatever terminology you want to use there. And it's like, that's the path towards division and destruction, like,
yeah,
in all areas of life. That's just like the law of the universe. You know what I mean? So it's like,
how is that different than what I'm saying? If I'm saying you are going to have to accept that none of us get everything we want
because,
and think we should have.
Because it's not that simple. And I don't think that you can get yourself to get to that space unless you have some perspective and discernment. Because if you truly are like, fine, I'll give you my right hand as long as I get your left. Like, it just feels...
I understand that.
Like,
I do understand that.
But if you are
that.
Truly able to understand the complexity of things,
right,
then it's going to be a little different because you're going to have a little more compassion, too. It's not going to be like everything's a zero-sum game.
Yeah,
It's going to be we're uniting on this agreed, like space of unity or like whatever.
I guess that's what I mean by that. You don't get what you want because everything isn't black and white. And that doesn't mean you get nothing or you have to trade this for that. It means that, guess what? We have to figure out where we can align.
I know. I guess I don't think you have to figure out where to align. I feel like you keep using that language. And I just feel like that feels very finite too. Like, how about you just sit in some ambivalence? How about you sit in some letting go? How about you sit in some surrender instead of find this, that? Okay, you get this, I get this. Like, it sounds to me very much like one is just very, like, very concrete and very, like, again, zero-sum game. Like, well, fine, you take this, I get this, you take this, I get this. That just feels like a chronic ongoing battle instead of just one of acceptance and maybe even transcendence in a way about some of these things.
Okay, that's great. I mean, in a perfect world, I love what you're saying.
I know.
That's the goal.
And you, like, if you can, you need, it's all about compassion. You, to develop some compassion for the other is what is really necessary here. It's got to be like, to me, it's got to be a heart thing. It's not just a logical, we're going to have to come together on this issue. Are you moving in the same number of centimeters I'm moving in on this issue? To me, it's like, no, I have compassion for my fellow human and I can see this and I have it and they have it. And like, there's no need for the bickering or the this or the that, or the tit or the tat. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
I absolutely see what you're saying. I do. I think the problem is, you know, we have a system that's set up where...
And how's that working for you? That's my point.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Exactly.
So but the expectation is that something changes. And it's like, well, maybe it doesn't have to change. Like, you need to, you know, be able to sit with that. And like, maybe it doesn't have to change right now. Maybe that's not the number one thing. So maybe that, you know, you have to let some... And when I say let some stuff go, like, that's what I mean by that. And you're right. But what you're saying...
Well, there is this... People have this grip. They have a grip on like all things. And they gotta loosen their grips. Like,
yes.
I don't care if it's politics.
Yes.
Or the way you're raising your kid... Wherever you go, there you are. You're probably doing the same shit and you got to loosen the grip.
Yes.
On all the things.
Absolutely. You know, and I guess one thing I will say about that is that I know some people that are very set in their ways, and, you know, whether it's posting on social media or whatever is, you know, and it brings me a little bit of hope, the fact that they know that I'm not aligned with them exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, depending on what we're talking about, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, maybe I don't see it the same way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can still have some, you know, friendship and conversation, and there's still this compassion and empathy, and like,
mm-hmm.
they're not like, I can't talk to you because mm-hmm. I know you don't agree with me on this. So that brings me hope that like,
mm-hmm.
no, this isn't black and white. And you do recognize that, no, you know, humanity comes first. Yes, you're hellbent on the way you think, but at the same time, like, when you see another person that might not agree with you, you can deal with that. The problem is, you can deal with it if you know the person. You got to give the other person a chance, maybe if you don't know that story or who that, what I'm.
For sure. But I think what we saw happen at the height of 2020 and 2020 to 2021 is like, people did start to turn on people they know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it did get like,
oh,
so
completely.
I think there's been maybe some restoration there, but I also still feel like there's a lot of detachment and some like permanent
like maybe not permanent, but residual, strong residual, like leftovers from that.
Totally.
And it's, I'm also hopeful too that people have learned their lessons about where not to take these things with your friendships or your family members. But I guess, you know, who knows, right?
Right. That's why I said like we're at the beginning mm-hmm. of this ramping up again. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you definitely see it ramping up. I definitely see people some posting some things and some people going at it. I see less engagement though. I see some people that really just
That's a good point.
Throw some shit out there and then the other person just ignores them.
That's a good point. So, I see the same things coming from the same group of people and the engagement seems to be much less. No matter who it's mm-hmm. is. The mm-hmm. engagement doesn't seem to be there on that level.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah.
That was a lot of politics.
It's a lot of politics. That's the most.
Yeah. No, it really wasn't, though. I mean, it is and it isn't.
I'm kidding. I know. But we're not gonna sit here and get in the weeds on that.
Do you want to?
On politics?
For you? Yeah. Would you like to? I'm not going
no.
to. But
no,
would
I
you
said
like
I don't
to?
Want. No, we're not going to do that here. That's not what we're here for.
Well, is that just because I said that? Because I want to give you the opportunity.
Absolutely
to,
not.
Like,
I have Absolutely. No. I have no desire to do that. I think that's a fruitless quest or endeavor to.
Uh-huh.
Take on. And I mean, first of all, you and I are very much in sync on a lot of things. So all we're going to do is talk about things that don't, it would not be fruitful for anybody or a productive conversation. Mm-hmm. And it just sounds like it's, unfortunately, people would see it as divisive, even if it wasn't intended to be. All right. You got anything else?
No.
All right. I love you.
Love you.